Very much. Open your Bibles this morning to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10. Mark's Gospel, chapter 10. Now, I've got to tell you, I enjoyed the PowerPoint presentation in Sunday School Hour about the history of the church. And I was greatly impressed at your preacher's ability to remember all those names. Man, as old as he is and he can remember like that, that's impressive, isn't it? You know, I'm 82, and I know what it is not to be able to remember everything. In fact, I called my wife Sugar for 6 months because I couldn't remember her name was Diana. But we are honored to be here. We love the Mosley family. You know, I enjoyed the presentation. I remember the Ross Avenue Baptist Church. I preached for Brother Baker at Terminal Baptist when he was out preaching somewhere else as a young preacher. And then Brother Mosley came from Florida, and I preached for him on occasions. And then get to be here with you and your church. What an honor. 70 years. You looked at all of those pictures. Most of those people are gone. You're up to bat now. If this church continues doing what it was established to do and has done down through the years, it's up to you and your fellowship of your pastor as he follows the Lord. I'd hate to know something that's lasted this long would go out of business under my watch. Be faithful. Faithful. It wasn't rich people that made this church possible. It wasn't the super intelligent people or talented people that made this church possible down through the years. It's been faithful people. And God's still looking for faithful people to carry on and do the work that's been going on here for 70 years. I've loved the Mosley family since I got acquainted with them. And I do remember him as a teenager and his brother's a teenager. I remember when his brother was cute. But it's a blessing and an honor to stand here today on your church's 70th anniversary. I was 12 years old when this church started. And thank God for your faithfulness and for continuing to serve the Lord. Open your Bible to Mark chapter 10, and we shall begin to read in verse number 46. Of Mark chapter 10. Now, if you will pamper me out of love and respect for the Word of God and you're physically able to stand, would you stand and follow me as I read out loud from the Word of God? The Bible says, "And they came to Jericho," verse 46, Mark chapter 10. "And as he went out of Jericho with his disciples, and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timotheus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he had heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, 'Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me.' And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, 'Thou son of David, have mercy on me.' And the Bible says, 'And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying, Be of good cheer, or comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garments, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? And the blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight. And he followed Jesus in the way. And if you read this account in Luke chapter 18 in verse number 42, you'll find out that Jesus not only healed his blindness, but he saved his soul also. Isn't that amazing? The man, Jesus said, What would you have that I do unto thee? And he said, That I might receive my sight. Let me tell you, when you give your heart and life to Jesus, he always does more than you ask. He not only healed him, he saved him. And I want you to notice particularly the statement in verse number 49. And Jesus stood still. And Jesus stood still. Let's bow together for prayer and then the message. Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for its instruction, the conviction that it brings, the changes that it makes in our hearts and our life when we yield to the truth you give in your book. Now, Lord, help me today as I preach. I sure need your help. Fill me with thy spirit. Speak through me the simple, plain word of God. I do not ask for the ability to preach a great dynamic message, but help me to preach a plain, simple, easy to understand message so every person in this building will go home knowing exactly what's been said and what you want to do with them, for them, and through them. Now fill me with thy spirit and I'll thank you in advance for what you shall do. And Lord, save every unsaved person listening to my voice this morning. And I'll give you praise and thanks in advance for it. For it's in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. You may be seated. And Jesus stood still. Now, that intrigues me because of the fact Jesus was a man of action. All the days of his earthly ministry, he was active. He was not a lazy man. There was not a lazy bone in his body. Even as a child, when young people tend to have a little lazy streak, he said, I must be about my Father's business. Aren't you glad that we have the promise of God's word that Jesus never changes? The Bible says in Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, that means that those things that were close to the heart of Christ when he was on earth are still dear to him today. What he said then, he still means today. What touched him then still touches him today. Now, Jesus was not only a man of action, he was a man with a purpose, a man with a mission. He was born to die for our sins. Calvary was no mishap. It was not the result of an angry mob out of control. It was planned and allowed by God for me and you. In fact, in verse number 33 and verse 34, the Bible tells us, and Jesus tells his disciples, that as he passed through Jericho on his way to Jerusalem, he knew exactly what was going to happen to him when he got to Jerusalem. Listen to the words of Jesus. Jesus said, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be delivered unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death, and shall deliver him to the Gentiles. And they shall mock him, and shall scourge him, and shall spit upon him, and shall kill him. And the third day he shall rise again. Now, Jesus knew exactly what was going to happen, and he was on his way to Jerusalem at this very time. God's plan for the redemption of sinful man was already heavy on his heart. This was the reason for his incarnation. This was his purpose and mission here on earth, to die that we who are sinners and deserve nothing better than hell might have salvation through Jesus Christ. Nothing would keep him from his appointed date with destiny. Isaiah 50, verse 17, or verse 7, in prophesying about Calvary and Christ's suffering, the Word of God says that he set his face like a flint. Facing Calvary, nothing would deter him from Calvary. Yet, here in this passage we've chosen for our text, we're told that a cry from the crowd as Jesus passed through Jericho caused him to stop and stand still and give attention to the one that was crying out. This man of action, the Bible says, stood still. This man with a purpose stood still. This God-man on a mission from God stood still. The Holy One with his face like a flint toward Calvary stood still. This one, the Son of God, who wouldn't allow personal suffering and hurt stop him, stood still. The Son of God, with the plan and purpose of God heavy upon his heart, heard a feeble cry from the crowd. And the Bible says, and Jesus stood still. This morning for our message, I want us to look at the story and consider the circumstances that caused God incarnate on the greatest, most important mission in human history to stop in his tracks and give attention to a blind beggar sitting on the roadside begging. First of all, who was it that cried out and caused Jesus to stop and turn his attention to this man's need? His name was Bartimaeus. He was not the mayor of Jericho. He was not a governor of the region. He was not a king or a man of wealth or position. Bartimaeus was a blind beggar sitting along the roadside begging. Now the point I want to make is that if Christ would stop to give attention to this blind beggar at this time, how much more will he stop for me and you when we cry out, "Thou Son of David, have mercy on me." You see, Calvary was before him. Already the burden of sins of the world were heavy upon his heart and his shoulders. Here this blind beggar cried out from the crowd, and Jesus stopped in his tracks just to give attention to that one blind beggar sitting on the roadside begging. The point I want to make is this: if Jesus would stop and give attention to this man, how much more now will he stop and give attention to me and you when we cry out? You see, the burden of sin has been lifted. Sin has been paid for. Calvary is past. It's history. He's already suffered and bled and died, and he's already been put in the grave, and right on time, 3 days and three nights later, he arose from the dead. He ascended back to the Father, and he's at the right hand of the Father today as our great high priest, our mediator, with his ear turned toward earth, waiting for somebody to cry out today Thou Son of David, have mercy on me. Oh, I'm here to tell you today, salvation's been purchased. Our sin has been paid for. God in heaven looked down and saw the travail of his soul and said, I'm satisfied. God said, I'm satisfied that the suffering and bleeding and dying of my son has completely paid the sin debt for sinners who will call upon Jesus to be their Savior. Thou Son of David, have mercy. You say, preacher, I just don't feel worthy to call. Nothing said in here about being worthy. Just call. Just call. There's not one person here today worse off than this blind beggar was. And Jesus stopped for him. He'll stop for you if you'll call upon him. Whatever else our Lord is doing, he's never so busy with more important things than to stop for me or you when we cry out to him. And if you're here today and you're unsaved, I want you to know that the salvation of sinners today is more important to God than the rescue of hurricane victims or tornado victims. Oh, what a tragic situation that happened through four states yesterday and night before last. People suffered. People died. May I say to you, Jesus didn't die for tornado victims. He died for sinners. He died for me and you so that we might be saved. He's sitting there at the right hand of the Father with his ear tuned toward earth, waiting for the cry. A man, a woman, a boy, a girl that needs his help today. Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. Though he rules the world and the hearts of kings are in his hands, he stands still when he hears the sincere cry of a needy sinner. What Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me and I will answer thee. Take it to heart, lost soul. Jesus wants to hear from you. He does not want to hear how good you are. He just wants you to hear you. He wants to hear you cry out, Lord, have mercy on me. I'm a sinner. He still saves souls today. If you're here today and you're without Jesus, you do not know that heaven is your home. I want you to know he loves you. And he cares about you. And he's waiting on you to call. Oh, whatever else our Lord is doing, he's never so busy with other things than to stop just for you. I don't know about you, that encourages me. That the Creator, the Lord of Lords, the God of Gods, cares enough about me. Ask me to call on him. I went to my doctor one day, and he said, now, Brother Smith, before I examine you, I need you to do something for me. I said, all right, doctor, what can I do for you? He said, how do I know that God would hear my prayers? And I said, well, the first thing you need to know that is that the only prayer God hears from a sinner, a lost soul, is the prayer, be merciful to me, a sinner. The sinner's prayer. God designed prayer for his children. But let me tell you, the weakest, worst sinner on this earth can call on him. And he'll stop for them and save their soul if they'll ask. Oh, take it to heart, lost soul. Jesus is waiting for your cry today. I say to you again, more important than the rescue of hurricane victims or tornado victims is the salvation of a soul, a person without Jesus as Savior. You're the one he died for. It's for us that he suffered and bled and died, and he's waiting. He's waiting. Have mercy on me, blind Bartimaeus said. The Word of God tells us who may call out to the Son of God today. Who may call? Well, may I say first of all that any and all needy souls in sin may call. He'll save you if you'll call on him. Why? The book of Romans chapter 10 and verse 12 says that there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. And he sums it up in verse 13 of Romans 10, for whosoever. That word whosoever is God's substitute for my name and your name. For whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Who may call? Any lost sinner, any needy sinner that wants to be saved. I've never met a person. I'm 82 years old and 82 years. I've been preaching for 58 of those 82 years. I've never met a person that says, I want to die and go to hell. Never have. And if you're here today and you don't know that you know that you know that you're saved, I want you to know there is no such thing as having salvation and not know it. My salvation birth is more real to me than my physical birth. Now, I know I was born physically because Mama told me. But I don't remember it. I remember as a 15-year-old boy hearing the gospel, knowing that I was lost and on my way to hell, and on that preacher gave the invitation. I don't know how many times they sang Just As I Am, but I knew they were waiting on me. God was speaking to my heart. And finally I said, if they'll just sing one more verse, I'll come. And so help me, that old preacher said, we just feel like we need to sing one more verse. And down the aisle I came and trusted Jesus. 15 years old, 1 month into my 15th year. A 14-year-old rebel just turned 15. The best I knew how, I asked Jesus to save me that day. And he did. And now for all of these years, 68 years, almost 68 years, I've known him as my Savior. He stopped for me when I called. A nobody on their way to hell. And he'll stop for you if you'll trust him. If you'll call out to him today, if you'll accept him as your Savior, he'll give you eternal life. Forgiveness of sin. He'll write your name in the book of heaven. And there's nothing the devil can undo to undo what he'll do in your heart when you trust him as your Savior. Oh, any and all needy souls in sin can call on him. He's waiting today. And then may I say to you, any person under a heavy burden may call. Why, he said, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's Matthew 11. Well, we've come through almost 2 years of tragedy in America. Many of our churches are suffering with COVID casualties. Oh, I'm not talking about necessarily physical casualties as much as I am spiritual casualties. They tell about all that have died physically, but they have not tallied the number of people that are casualties today spiritually. They've grown cold. They've suffered hurt in their family and hurt on their jobs and hurt in their heart and soul. I'm here to tell you that Jesus wants you to know you don't have to bear those hurts alone. You don't have to carry that heavy burden. He's waiting on you today. All ye that labor and are heavy laden. He said, come unto me and I'll give you rest. That's his promise. And then may I say to you, any child of God may call. Why? God tells us in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, come boldly unto the throne of grace. You might find mercy and grace to help in your time of need. Did you know God designed prayer just for you? Just for you. You don't have to bear those burdens alone. You don't have to go through life alone. You don't have to have a special invitation to get on your knees with Him and talk with Him. Come boldly to the throne of grace. Doesn't matter the time, doesn't matter the day or hour. Just come. Come boldly. Let me tell you what that means. I was working in my office one day at home, and I'd been given the job of babysitting my youngest daughter, Kimberly. Mama was shopping or somewhere, and I was in my office working on a sermon, and suddenly I heard this blood-curdling scream outside. I thought, oh dear God, a car has hit her. Then I heard the front door of the house slam open, and the back door open, and the door to my office open, and in she came. She didn't have an appointment. I said, Kimberly, what are you doing? She said, I was riding my bicycle and I hit the curb and I failed and I skipped my knee. And I looked down. There wasn't any blood, just a little red spot. I said, well, what do you want? She said, I thought at least you could kiss it. I got down on my knees. Wiped her little knee off, kissed her knee, got back up. She wiped her eyes and said, bye. I said, where are you going? She said, I'm going to ride my bicycle. She didn't have an appointment. She didn't need one. She was my child. And she could come boldly into my presence at any time with any need. Jesus says, so can my children. So can you. What burden are you carrying today? What need needs to be laid at His feet and you just kept on dealing with it instead of trusting Him? Well, I want you to know, just as Jesus stopped for blind Bartimaeus, He'll stop for you. How many invitations do you have like this? Come boldly before the throne of grace that you might find mercy and grace to help in your time of need. Who may call? Any child of God may call. I'm sad to say God designed prayer because He wants to spend time with you more than come boldly. Come boldly. Who may call? Any backslidden Christian may call. And let me tell you, after these last 2 years, there's a lot of backslidden Christians that used to be in church that are not in church anymore, and there's some backslidden still in church. We know about the prodigal that went off to the far country, But there were two prodigals in that family. One stayed home, had a bad spirit, angry about his brother. When he got right, he wouldn't even come in to the celebration. We've got too many people sitting in our church pews today with the attitude of the elder brother. They're the prodigal who stayed home, but they need to cry out too, because the sin that the prodigal in the far country had that separated him from his father was no different than the sin the prodigal who stayed home had that separated him from the fellowship with the family and a right heart and a right spirit. Why, the Bible says in 1 John chapter 1, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we'll confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Wow. Now notice secondly, what kind of a cry was this that caused Jesus to stand still? What kind of a cry? It was a cry for mercy. Blind Bartimaeus said, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. It was a cry for mercy. Jesus doesn't care how much you possess. He doesn't care what your bank account is, whether it's way up here or way down here. You're not going to impress Jesus with all you've done or haven't done. He's looking for a man or woman that'll cry for mercy. Blind Bartimaeus calls Jesus to stop in his tracks. Though he had the burden of the sin of the world upon his back, heading toward Calvary in Jerusalem in just a few days. The thing that caused him to stop and give attention to blind Bartimaeus was that blind Bartimaeus said, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. I get so fed up with these commercials today. You need to call this because you deserve this. You need to get what you deserve. Well, I'm glad God didn't give me what I deserve. I got stopped by a policeman in North Richland Hills. I got caught in the intersection. The light turned red, and I was car in front of me, car behind me. I couldn't go anywhere. And do you know that guy pulled me over and gave me a ticket? Now when he came up, I didn't say, all right, I want what I deserve. So I begged for mercy. I didn't get it, but let me tell you, when it comes to my Savior, I didn't say, Lord, give me what I deserve. I cried for mercy. You know what you and I deserve? We deserve hell. Nothing better than hell, because we've sinned against God. We've broken his rules. We've broken his law. We've broken his heart. And the thing that causes the God of glory to stop when we cry is when we cry for mercy. Thou son of David, have mercy on me. And then it was a personal cry. He said, have mercy on me. It's important that you realize you don't go to heaven because your mama was saved or your daddy was saved. You don't get saved because somebody else got saved. Salvation is a personal thing. This blind Bartimaeus said, have mercy on me. It was personal. And salvation is personal, and you don't get saved until you make it personal in your request. I'm amazed at people that want to go to heaven but don't know that they're saved. Well, I got baptized. That's no good. You're right. Well, I joined a church. That's y'all. Every Christian ought to get baptized because they got saved. And after they get saved and baptized, they ought to be faithful in a local Bible-believing Baptist church. But you don't go to heaven because you're baptized or because you're a member of a church. Got to be born again. The only way you can get born again is by personally, definitely, and individually calling on Jesus to save you. Now I ask you right now, can you look back and remember that time when you personally, definitely, and individually accepted Jesus as Savior? For me, it was August the 23rd, 1954. See, you remember the date? Yeah, because Mama wrote it in her Bible. But long before I got Mama's Bible and saw the date, I never forgot the time, the experience. When I walked down that aisle in an old-fashioned revival meeting, Hayden Baptist Church, out in the country, on a Saturday night, and accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. Can you look back and remember? It was a cry for mercy, and it was a personal cry. Have mercy on me. And then it was a persistent cry. Bartimaeus said, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And I love this. They tried to hush up blind Bartimaeus. Shh, don't. That's Jesus. Don't bother him. And I love it. The Bible says, and much more he cried. It was a persistent cry. I'm here to tell you today, my dear friend, you call on him and he'll save you. You carry a heavy burden, you call on him and keep on calling on him. Don't give up in your prayer life. Now the good thing is, after you get saved, you don't have to get born again and again and again. After you get saved, you need never forget that new birth experience, that day when you called upon him to save you. You say, how do I know he saved me? Because he said if you ask him, he'd save you. The one thing God cannot do and be God is he cannot lie. We have his promise. If we'll ask him, if we'll come to him, asking him to save us, calling upon him, that he'll give us life everlasting. It was a persistent cry. Then also it was an urgent cry. You see, blind Bartimaeus did not know that this would be the last chance he ever had to call on Jesus. Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. And there he will be crucified. This was his last chance. It was an urgent cry. Not one of us know how much longer we've got. I was moved when you called this man's name and said you could point the pew he was sitting in when he left this life. I promise you he didn't think when he got up that morning and came to church that he'd never leave church alive. Someone said, if I knew where I was going to die, I'd never go there. But let me tell you, we don't know. But here's what we do know. In the book of Job, we have the word of God that says that he has set bounds around our life and we cannot go beyond. I don't know where that boundary is. You don't either. But what I do know is that you have an opportunity today to be saved if you're not saved. You have an opportunity today to get it right with God if you're not right with God. It was an urgent cry. It was the last time Jesus would ever pass that way before his crucifixion. And then it was a cry of faith. In verse 52, the Bible says, Jesus said, thy faith hath made thee whole. It was a cry of faith. Now, you say, I don't know if I had enough faith. If you had enough faith to ask, has enough faith to get saved. You see, all you need to do is have enough faith to ask. The saving power is God's power. He does the saving. He does the forgiving. All you can do is do the asking. Have you? Have you? What are you waiting on? You gambling with your soul? Well, I'm going to wait for a later date. Hell's full of people that plan to get saved tomorrow but died today. If the devil could get you to do one thing, he'd get you to put it off to a later date. I believe your being here today is testimony that you believe the Bible. You believe there's a heaven and a hell. You believe there is a salvation provided by God. Some of you have never trusted. It's time you settle that matter in your heart. It's time you quit living in doubts and uncertainty and call upon Him to be your Savior today. Then thirdly, what does this story teach us? This story teaches us that Jesus is reachable and available to every individual, regardless of your circumstances or condition. The only requirement is that you sincerely want His forgiveness or want His help. This story teaches us that Jesus is moved by a cry for mercy, not our position, not our possessions, and not our condition. And this story teaches us that God's power moves for us on the basis of our faith in Jesus Christ. You say, well, where do I get that faith? It's a gift from God. God has put, in Romans chapter 12, verse 3, the Bible says that God has given to every man a measure of faith. But that faith is dormant in your heart. God didn't make you for hell. God made you for Himself. And He's given every one of us a measure of faith, but that faith is dead and dormant. It's not active and alive until we hear the gospel. The gospel is the switch that turns that faith light on in our heart. I can't tell you how many times I've been soul winning and witnessing to someone that's unsaved and give them the gospel, and all of a sudden they stop and say, I see. I understand. That's the reason God has told the church 5 different times in the New Testament to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. It's not change of life and change of habits and change of dress that turns on the gospel light in our heart, our faith. It's the gospel that turns it on. You're here today. God wants you to be saved. We've told you that Jesus died for our sins, was buried, and rose again for our justification. That's the gospel. And if you'll trust Him, if you'll come today and ask Him, He'll save you. He moves for us on the basis of our faith in Jesus Christ. And the last thing this story teaches us is that God truly does care about you and your needs. He truly does care. You say, but I'm a nobody. You're somebody to God. He created you. The Bible tells us we were created for His glory. God cares about you. He truly does care about your needs. He'll save you if you'll come to Him. He'll take those heavy burdens, Christian, if you'll bring them to Him. Our need today is to take Him at His word and come to Him. Here in Texas, we hear a commercial every now and then. How long has it been since you've had a can of Wolf brand chili? Then they say, that's too long. How long's it been since you've brought your burdens and your heartaches and given them to Christ? How long's it been since you've called upon Him with your needs? How long's it been since you've spent time with Him on your knees, worshiping, loving, praising? That's too long. He's waiting today for you. He's waiting. He's waiting. Lost sinner, today you can call upon Him. He'll save you. And child of God, you can call on Him today. He'll meet with you. But call personally. Call persistently. Call urgently. Call believing. And He'll stop just for you. Father in heaven, that's our message this morning. Now, Lord, I've preached your word. I've felt your presence here. And there's people here who need you. They need you in their life. There's people here today that need to settle the salvation question once for all. And there's people here today with heavy burdens and heartaches. And they need to come to you today. And at an old-fashioned altar, leave those burdens with you. Now, Lord, you know more about us than we know about ourselves. While I'm talking, I'm convinced the Holy Spirit of God is speaking to people in this congregation. Lord, help us to be sensitive to that still, small voice of God. Nobody else around us can hear it. But it supersedes the preacher's voice. And I pray, oh God, that we'll be honest to that voice as you speak to our heart. Someone needs to be saved today, and they know it. Someone needs to come back and draw near to God once again and get back to that place where they used to be, instead of going on like they are now. Maybe someone here today needs to rededicate their life, or they need to come back to you from the far country. Speak to our hearts today. May we have the spirit of blind Bartimaeus and cry out to you this morning. Now, while heads are bowed and eyes are closed, no one's looking around, I wonder how many of you can say, preacher, I can look back and remember when I got saved. I may not remember the date, but I sure know that I know that I know I've accepted Jesus as my Savior, and I'm glad of it. You can say that right now with certainty. Would you give testimony by slipping your hand up? Preacher, that's me. I'm saved, and I know it. And I'm glad that I know that I know that I know I'm saved. What a wonderful sight throughout this building. You can put your hands down. Most everybody could raise their hands. But there's some here that didn't or couldn't. Thank you for being honest. Does no good to pretend when God already knows the truth. I believe your being here is testimony. You don't want to miss heaven. You don't want to go to hell. But you don't know that you're saved. Would you let me pray for you? I'll make you this promise. I won't come to you. I won't point you out. I wouldn't embarrass you for the world. But I would like to know I'm praying for you. And I want God to know I'm praying for you. And I want you to know I'm praying for you. So here's what I'm going to ask you to do. While no one's looking, you couldn't raise your hand and say, I'm saved and I know it. Right now, would you slip it up and without saying a word, here's what your hand would say. Pray for me. I don't know that I'm saved. But I know I don't want to miss heaven. I don't want to go to hell. If I could be saved and know it before I face eternity, I'd like to be. Anyone like that right now, just slip your hand up. I'll see it. You can take it back down. And when I pray, you'll know I'm praying for you. One more time, I'll ask it. Anyone like that? Then I wonder, you're here today and you're carrying some heavy loads, some heavy burdens. You need God's help in your life, your intervention, His intervention in your life. Preacher, it was good news to know that God cares about me and the burdens I bear. Pray for me. I've got some heavy burdens. Would you slip your hand up and indicate, preacher, that's me. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you and you and you. Anyone else, preacher? God spoke to my heart. I'm carrying some burdens this morning, and I sure need His help and His intervention. Anyone else would join these? Thank you, sir. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? Lord, we're comforted by Your promise that we're to come unto You with our heavy burdens. We're to give them to You, that You care about us, that we don't have to bear them alone. Like the man called out of the crowd, Simon the Cyrenian, to bear the cross after Jesus. Many believed Jesus carried the heavy load. Simon carried the lighter load. And I don't know if that's true or not, but I know in our case it's true. When we come to You and take our burden, You'll carry the heavy load if we'll let You. Help us to come to You. Now, Lord, You know our need in this invitation. Maybe someone here has gotten cold and away from You, and they need to come and at an old-fashioned altar draw near once again. You said if we'll draw near to You, You'll draw near to us. Help us to come. Now, Lord, I've preached the message You've given me to preach. I can do nothing more. Holy Spirit, I yield this invitation into Your hands. Help us to be honest with God about how You're dealing with our hearts, and help us to respond positively in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Let's stand to our